Good to be in the house of God. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to begin reading at verse 1. Your Bible says there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, that's talking to saved people. He says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We're going to be looking tonight at sanctification. Sanctification. Sanctification means to make holy, and it means to set apart for holy service. And when God saves somebody, he's setting you apart. He's making you holy in Christ for his service. The false idea of somebody getting saved and never doing anything for the Lord is it's a false idea. That's not biblical. It never has been. God has something for everybody to do, and everybody's waiting 40 years to find out what it is. You don't have to wait that long. What you do is you find out the basic things and do them, and don't let the big things disturb you. I think we're so tied up thinking that, well, God saved me, so he must have something really huge for me. What if what he has really huge for you is what you do for him that nobody knows?
Yeah.
And when people get outside the will of God, they'll try to claim everything's the will of God. And it's sad because there's so much that needs to be done that nobody can get done because nobody will do nothing because they're waiting on God to show them what he's already showed them. Did you get all that?
Amen.
I think we just need to take the old Nike slogan and say this, yeah. Do it. Just do it. Just do it. Now watch this. As we think about sanctification, we looked at justification last week. That deals with imputed righteousness and what Christ has already done for us. Sanctification is imparted righteousness and what Christ is doing in us at this present time. And there's three different aspects of the thing about sanctification. If you look in verse 3, for ye are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. That's the part of the sanctification that we call positional. You are positionally sanctified. You are in Christ. And that means that the moment you're saved, you're baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit of God, by the washing of regeneration, by the Holy Ghost, you're placed there. If you hold your place here, we'll come back here in a minute. Go over to Romans chapter 6. There's a thing called experiential sanctification. That's by experience you learn things and you grow in the Lord and he shows you things as you go. That's part of the Christian life. And experiential sanctification, in verse number 1 of Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The answer to that question, verse 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? See, when you got saved, he said, you died and your life is hid with Christ in God. He said, know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Now get that thing, baptized into his death. Your salvation don't come from the tree of life, it comes from the tree of death. If you ever figure that out, you'll do great things for God. He says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So if what happened to you when you got saved, you were baptized into his death, and you died to sin and self, and he brought you to life, and you're walking in newness of life.
Amen.
That's Christianity. Verse 5, for we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Paul said, I die daily. You know why? Do you know why? Because for some reason you keep sinning. Somebody's got to stop that, and that's you. He paid sin's penalty. And when he paid sin's penalty, We have to die daily because this flesh is not dead.
Yeah, right.
The old man inside was born again. The Holy Spirit's placed in there. The soul was circumcised from the body. In the book of Colossians, it talks about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That ain't just a spiritual circumcision. That's that soul getting cut away from that flesh.
Yeah. Right.
Now watch this. He said, now in verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe also, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. And he sums it up with this word here, likewise. He said all that to say this, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what we find out is we have, experiential wise, we died with Christ. And we continue to die to self and die to sin daily.
Right.
If we do not, somebody says about you, and rightfully they'd say this, well, that person ain't saved. They do such and such.
Mm.
Why are they doing that? Because they hadn't learned one simple truth. It's not about you anymore.
That's right.
It's about him. And it's about Jesus, and it's about Jesus only. It's his life. It's his life in us, his life through us, his desires, not our desires. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ.
Right.
And by saying all that, you got the experiential sanctification where you learn this and you learn to die to sin. Somebody asked me a while back to go to certain places. I can't go there. Early on, I might have went when I first got saved, but I won't now. I just won't go there. You say, what was that at? Why would you want to know? You want to go there?
Mm.
Wait a minute. Even worse. Are you full of the devil and you going to try to get me to go there after church tonight? Is that what it is? You got to watch people, man. Even on Wednesday nights, you got to watch people real close, right? Listen to this. So you got positional sanctification, experiential sanctification, and then according to 1 John 3, you got what they call ultimate sanctification. That's where we see him, we'll be like him.
Right.
I got a news flash for you ladies tonight. You're going to really like this part, okay? You will not become a 33-year-old male Jew when the rapture happens. When we see him, we'll be like him. You laugh, but ain't that good? Some of you look awful funny with a beard on your face. See, here's the thing. We believe every word of this Bible,
yeah,
infallible, you know, every word's good.
Right.
Inerrant, mean none's in error.
That's right.
Inspired, all of them come from the mouth of God himself and the breath of God himself.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that, we come to this Bible and we see we'll be like him. That's a simile. That means we'll be like him.
Mm-hmm.
As he's got a glorified body, then we'll have a glorified body.
Yeah.
That's ultimate sanctification at that point.
That's right.
That body of yours we're going to bury in that graveyard is going to come up perfect.
Yeah.
You thought it went in perfect. You was wrong.
That's right.
You think it's perfect now. You wrong.
That's right.
It, listen, it's full of sin and the devil right now. Your soul's saved. Your spirit's saved. You got the Holy Spirit sealing you. But that body's corrupt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when we bury it, it'll be buried in corruption, but it'll raise in incorruption. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 says.
Amen.
Just think, ladies, you have one of these nice things like this. Ain't you glad the Lord ain't got a sense of humor like that? I feel your pain right now. So how do you feel our pain? I quit shaving too. I understand.
Yep.
I had people tell me when I was a kid, say, you'll regret shaving one day. I didn't have no choice. I had to. It started coming in over here a little bit and over here a little bit. If I'd let that grow, I'd look like something, like something had been sprayed, need to be sprayed, dipped, and wormed. And then it all came in. I shaved that thing and fought that thing like a field full of weeds for every day of my life. About 6-8 years ago, I just give up. I said, I ain't doing this no more. Don't bother me at all. Does it bother you? It bothers you, I got a beard. Well, may God help you be a 33-year-old male Jew in the rapture then. Amen. Listen. Now, we look at this thing about the ultimate part of sanctification. So we've reached that we got a new nature, we're born again, we're in union with Christ, we're declared to be just, we're adopted into his family. But see, back in verse 12 of Romans chapter 6, there's a problem about sin. We have not been suddenly been made perfect, and there still is the problem of sin in the life of the believer, and the doctrine of sanctification deals with what God does about this, because he says in verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. That's talking to saved people. Mm-hmm. If you have a problem understanding this, let me break this down for you. Sin bad, period. He said, let not sin therefore reign. That's make it king.
Yep.
So what's sin, preacher? You got to make it plain for us. I don't know. Read Exodus 20 and figure out which one of the things you're doing to stop them.
Amen.
There's several things in there. So I don't think I do any of them. I don't know. Go read them and see.
Yeah.
Read them with an open heart, open mind, and an open Bible, and let God speak to you through the Holy Spirit, and let God get that out of your life. If you can go through them 10 and think you okay, go back over them again.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find out what to die to real quick. And listen, America, we think that because we are such a high-class people that we don't suffer from the sins these foreign countries do. I mean, we don't exactly have statues sitting around that we worship, do you? Oh, wait a minute, we do. And those people that want to tear down statues in America, pay them no mind. They want to put others up in their place.
Yep.
They did that in Russia. They did that in China. They did that down at where that guy was a dictator down there in that country in Africa. I can't think of his name. Idi Amin was the dictator. They all do that. Away with those evil people, those oppressors, and as soon as you tear them down, they put a statue of themselves up this place.
Yep.
You say, is that a new thing? Nah, let's try back Daniel chapter 3 where they did it over there.
Yep.
Same outfit. They learned it from somebody. He's going to set up one of himself during the time of tribulation. It's going to be animated, though.
Yep.
He's going to animate his.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that something?
Yeah.
So we got the technology to do that. He don't need your technology. He's the devil. He can do it.
That's right.
Now watch this. So we got to die to self. We got to die to sin. We go in there in the Word of God. We find it out. And again, if you can make it past those first 10 and God say you okay, listen, you only got 255 more to conquer.
Yeah. That's right.
I die daily is what one of the greatest Christians that ever lived said on the inspiration of God. I die daily. It will always be something. A friend of mine called the other day and made a statement. I hadn't got away from this yet. Everybody, no matter who you are under the attack of the devil. It'll be such a veiled attack, you'll think you're suffering for sin from your own sin sometimes and can't figure out what it is, and it's just the devil hitting you. Well, he ain't going to attack you and say, hey, I'm the devil. I'm trying to ruin your life. He ain't that kind of devil.
Right.
Remember, he's a liar.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now watch this. We've got that going on. He says in verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey in lust thereof. And if you want to know what you're obeying in your body, what do you lust after the most? That'll tell it. And he says in verse 13 how to fix it. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. So we got to take these hands that handle sin, these eyes that look at sin, this mouth that tastes sin, these feet that run to mischief and all that other stuff, we can't yield them to that sin. He says, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So we'll take our members, that's our things in our body, our hands, our feet, our eyes, our mouth, our ears, and listen, he says, do this thing right here. He says, as instruments of righteousness unto God. Before you touch it, ask God, is it okay to touch it? Before you taste it, ask God, is it okay to taste that thing? Before you run to it, ask God for permission to go there.
Amen.
See, that's how you work that thing. And if you do what God says, you're looking right here, literally, at dying to sin and living for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He don't want us to do nothing down to that church. He just takes away all the fun. I didn't say it. It says it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I die daily. That don't just apply to you. That applies to me, too.
Yeah.
Why, do you know the fish was biting this afternoon? Say, it's too hot for them. They live in the water. It's kind of okay for them. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want my feet running out there to do something like that when my feet supposed to be running in here. I saw something the other day that I wanted so bad I could reach out and touched it. I could already taste it when I saw it. I ain't gonna tell you what it is, because you'll buy me one trying to tempt me, and I'll ask God to smite you hip and thigh. But when I saw that thing, I thought, I can't do that. It would hurt me. It would hurt me greatly. What'd you have to do? Lord, help. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. The godly man ceaseth. I need some help, Lord.
Yep.
And see, you surrender and say, well, you know, I did tell you, Lord, you could have these this morning. So I better not reach out there and grab that thing. Lord, I said, I give this to you, so I better not try to grab that and get a bite of it, whatever that thing might have been. It's hard, but it can be done. Mm-hmm. See, there's no temptation that's taken you, except he provided that door. The door's already there.
Amen.
Help, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, we don't say help. We say, Lord, I'm going to go ahead and do it. You forgive me now. I'm going to go ahead. No, that don't work like that. You gotta ask him for help. Now watch this. There's some principles of sanctification I want you to look at tonight that'll help us tonight. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 to start with. These principles of sanctification, the first one, sanctification is God's will for us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, your Bible says in verse number 3, talking about God's will, he says, for this is the will of God. So whatever after he says that is the will of God. He says, even your sanctification, comma. So he inserts that to let you know that to be made holy and to set you apart for holy service, he says that you should abstain from fornication. Fornication is sex before marriage. God is still against that.
Yep.
Listen, before you get married, God don't want you to try her on as like you'd try an old car.
Right.
Because if you do that, you'll one day trade her in on a later model.
Mm-hmm.
But by the way, that works two ways. She may trade you in.
Oh, yeah.
And listen to this. He said, you abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Back over in Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 3 over here, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. For all you saved people that before you got saved or in the past, you've asked God to forgive you of it, you committed fornication and you got married to that person and you married right now. You are married. That is God's will. God don't work on, I should have done this in the past and I know that was God's will. God works on today. Let me make that perfectly clear. Don't be seeking divorce based on your faulty decision making. You've already made the decision. It's still there. God's will is still there. Say, but I'm married to an idiot. You married him. But God put you together. Now stay together. Do what you got to do. I'm making this real easy. Yeah, you married an idiot. Y'all laughing. You she knows and you know. But anyway. I think the word you're looking for is oh me. But listen. You've got to do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I hear people make the statements that I was supposed to do this. You may have supposed to been, but you can't go back and change time. That's science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. True story. If we could go back and fix time, we already would have.
Yeah.
Hitler would never came to power. Mussolini would never came to power. Joe Biden would never came to power.
Come on.
It never happened. He'd have never made it past 1986 campaigning for president.
Yeah.
Well, listen to me. You've got to understand that's the will of God. It's the will of God. You say, but we're already married. I might be talking to them and him and, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's some of you in here that's single. You need to understand this. We're not out test driving.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
And listen, you say, well, could you explain to us how it works? So, well, no, you ain't catching me in that. There ain't no way. I'm going to tell you what. You go see your family doctor and tell him you don't understand how it works. He can explain the whole thing to you. Take your spouse with you right after you get married, so we don't know how to do this, he'll explain the whole thing for you. But see, what the problem is not that. The problem is you already know you're trying to get me to send with you, and I ain't going to do it.
Amen, preacher. That's good stuff right there. Come on. Back,
dog. Two reasons. I'm too old and I don't care. Say amen right there.
Come on.
Things I hear from people sometimes, well, I don't know this, I don't know that. Yeah, you do. You're trying to get me to send with you, and I ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
Just because you're full of the devil don't mean there would be two of us need to be full of the devil.
Amen.
Help, Lord. Listen, when we get to this point about sanctification is God's will right there, he says it plainly. And then he said in Colossians 3, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So if my life is hid with Christ in God, and he says the will of God in my sanctification, abstain from that, I'd check that one off and not do it and say, I already know that's the will of God. See, people holler, I don't know what the will of God is. And you tell them like I'm telling you tonight, and they get mad at you and say, well, you ain't going to write my personal life like that. I got every right in the world to say it. This nation's full of that stuff. Our schools are full of it. They walk around high school up here in the local high school, and even the junior high pregnant now. Somebody better be saying something about it.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
Gonna put a daycare in a high school. You got to be out of your mind. I found out the other day they let them use cell phones. Coach Irvin would have smacked that thing out your hand. We had old lumbering basketball coach used to play for the NBA, big old Coach McLean. He played back in the 1950s, I think, or 60s. He had a bad habit of saying this, come with me, sir. You know what that meant? Your hair was nasty, your shirt wasn't tucked in, and you going to the showers before school starts because you ain't taking out nasty in his school. Mm-hmm. What if you wasn't his teacher? He didn't care. And if you gave him any slack about it, he is so old he didn't like to paddle, he'd call one of them young teachers down there to paddle you. So what's two things we missing in school? Coach McLean and paddle. Say amen right there.
That's right.
You know what the worst trouble I ever got in school was? Running down a hall. They opened that big library door by the time I got there to it. I mean, I was booking. I was late for class. And the door opened, bam. I was laid out cold right there on the floor. I didn't know that Coach Irvin was the one opened that door. Coach Irvin was the most in shape coach we had. He could knock a golf ball like Steve Phillips could. He got me back awake and said, come with me. I thought we was going to get like some kind of medical treatment. No, I went and got the paddling of my life for that. Now that I was breathing and I was conscious, I went and got a paddling for it. Some of y'all think that's child abuse. You know what I never did again while I was there? I mean, I had 5 more years left of public school. I never ran in school again. If I was late, I was just late. So amen right there. It didn't kill nobody. So what did it fix, that running problem I had?
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, listen, if you will do what you know to do is right, yep, you will be okay. And that is right there. It said, this is the will of God. You are hid with Christ in God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, it says this, set your affection on things above, not on things earth. Not only is there the principle of sanctification being God's will for us, but sanctification is God's work in us. He's presently working in you to do the will of his good pleasure. And the way he makes you holy is he puts you in Christ. And then he wants to set you apart for holy service because he's got to get you ready to serve him. Saved people are not born again ready to be where God's got them going. That's why every time when I see somebody get saved, that day they say they called to preach, I do not bite. Because they all wash out into sin or they wash out into a cult. I watched a man do this in North Carolina a while back. He said he was called to preach the moment he got saved, but the reason he did, the big evangelist is there. He is his convert, so therefore all them pastors are there because of him. He got meetings with them at night. He's so messed up right now. He's sitting under the guy that thinks he's an apostle, and him and his wife claim they apostles. That's how bad messed up that is. It's just like when these celebrities get saved. What do they do? Well, we'll send them out on tour to these churches to give their testimony. That way people will come and hear them. And these goofball pastors will say this, well, you know, I'd like to have a full church. If I had such and such in, then they'd all be here. We'd have a full church. And when they leave, all of them's leaving with them because they're nothing but a bunch of star chasers. They're starstruck. They're of a cult mentality almost.
Yep.
And if your church did fill up with that, they'd vote you out. So that wouldn't happen in Gaffney. I know of one church where it did. This nice little group of friends I had, they was part of this little Pentecostal church. Nice people, good, paid their bills, loved God. They didn't believe like us, but they loved God. I believe that much about them. I believe they're sincere. They're just sincerely wrong about a couple of things. Their church got down to about 10 people. And one day this church across town showed up. We're talking 150 visitors in one service. Oh, we like y'all. This is a great church, all this stuff. And the next Sunday, they joined. And the next Sunday after that, they voted out their pastor and voted in the pastor from across town where they come from. Now they got a great building with a gym and a nice big parking lot. And how about that? And they had all their money in the bank too. You better watch out how you say, well, I wish our church full. What do you want it full of? You better be very specific about that when you pray. They'll bring these celebrities in like that, say, man, we got this celebrity here, and everybody flock in there, and they'll baptize 50 converts off that celebrity, but the next week they can't find them.
Yep.
Wonder how that happened. How many of y'all have I baptized in this building right now? One, two. Y'all came back the next service, right? I don't remember for sure, but I think you did, right?
Amen.
That's a good sign that you came back after that.
Amen.
A really good one. But can I let you in on something? There's people every day who follow this crowd around getting baptized in every church in this town.
Yep. Mercy.
Don't be like that.
Yeah.
You're hid with Christ in God. Listen, you've been spiritually baptized. You've been water baptized. You don't have to keep doing it again for fresh anointing. That's a lie of the devil.
Even.
Sanctification being God's will for us and God's work in us. God's working on you for you to be in holy service for him. He says there in that verse there, he said in verse number 2, watch this, set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. What will that do? That'll help God's work in you. If you look up 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 down there. First Thessalonians 5:23, the Bible says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. This is W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy, H-O-L-Y, is what he's trying to get you to do, but the only way he can get that holy is if he gets you W-H-O-L-L-Y. The God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole, number one, spirit and soul, number two, and number three, body, be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That identifies you right there. If you've got a body, soul, and spirit, that identifies you. You're created in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
You're born into sin in this world, and after Genesis chapter 3, you're born with a body and soul and dead spirit. When you get saved, that's what part of you gets born again right there.
Right.
Now you got all three active in your life again. No wonder the devil hates you. You look just like God. He sees that. He said, well, I don't believe in the Trinity because I can't see him. I can't see your other two parts, but I believe you there.
Yeah,
do you understand that? Isn't that something? You thought you looked like God, you handsome devil, you. No, that ain't what he's talking about. He's talking about your triune nature,
mm-hmm.
Body, soul, and spirit.
That's right.
It's funny when people comb their hair, how beautiful they think they are, and they turn around and say, does this make me look fat? And they say, just a little bit.
No.
That poor lady that cuts my beard, she cut these big wide things that grow out this way off. I said, that makes me look fat. And she just sat there and said, your line is to say it's not the beard. When you work on tips, you can't be honest like that.
I know this, man.
Listen, sanctification is God's work in us. He wants to work on your body, soul, and spirit. Look over to Ephesians chapter 5. Take a left. Ephesians chapter 5. It's God's work in you. God's work in you. Ephesians chapter 5. Down at verse 25. He says in that verse, their husbands love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He points out how Christ also loved the church. As a husband, the way I love my wife is the same way Jesus Christ loves his church.
Right.
He says in verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. How does God's work in you go? He takes that word of God and keeps you cleaned up. Why do you think I spend my time up here telling you to read the Bible all the time?
Amen.
He wants you clean.
Yep.
You know what would be sad? And I know some bleeding heart liberals going to hear this and think we're just a bunch of legalists, but you know what would be sad if you quit taking a bath? So how would that be sad? Well, don't you know these homeless people in America? And they, we ain't talking about them, we're talking about you. And if you're looking at me on a $1,500 iPhone, shut your face and listen so you can learn something. But what about, see, that's what the devil does. He questions when he's supposed to be listening. If you quit taking a bath, do you know who would notice it first? Not you, but everybody else. Then one day, you'd catch a whiff of something and you'd think the smell was coming from the outside. You'd think, somebody needs to do something. There's something spoiled in here.
Uh-oh.
Then one day, you'd actually change clothes and you'd smell your clothes. And you know what you'd say to yourself? These clothes smell funny, these ones I put on. No, they smell clean. You're not used to that. When we get to this thing about being cleansed by the washing of the water by the word, you know what happens? You don't read the Bible, you come in here, you get mad at me. Something smells funny. It ain't that. It's what you just heard.
Yeah.
It's clean.
Yeah.
What's that detergent?
Gain.
Gain clean. Except when you ain't been around Gain in about a year, you think, that smells like something. I don't know what that is. It's clean you're smelling. Don't believe me, ask your pets. Because if you live with your pets and you don't take a bath for a little while, they'll quit coming around you after a while. Your lazy cat, you know what it'll do? It'll look at you and go, start doing this. And then he'll go. He's trying to figure out, something wrong with boss. And he brings the food out here, there's something wrong with him. And then you're going to catch that thing nibbling on your toes. You know what it thinks? It thinks you're dead. It's you smell so bad. He better go ahead and eat you before you get rotten over there. That's a true story. I know a man that woke up and his cat was chewing on his toes, and he was trapped and the thing couldn't get out of it. He said that he woke up and his cat was chewing on his toes. He said the cat probably thought he was dead. He smelled so bad. That's just 3 or 4 days without a bath. Ain't that something? See, God's work in us is Him cleansing you up with the washing of the water of the Word. Look over at Philippians chapter 2. God's work in you, sanctification, setting you apart. Do you know why the devil wants you to think you lost all the time and make you think you saved one day and lost the next and you doubt your salvation? Because as long as you're sitting around worried about that, you'll never go forward for the Lord.
Yeah.
How's He going to fix that? Well, sanctification is God's work in you. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12... He says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. What's He working on? Your sanctification. He set you apart for holy service. He's got to make sure you holy, and you got to make sure you holy. And the way you do that, you go to this Bible and find out what it says about salvation, and you look at what happened to you and make sure that lines up with this, and then you can go forward.
Amen.
Once you learn to go forward in this thing, you know what that's called? Sanctification. You are set apart because you're made holy. Now you're being worked on by the Lord, and He's getting you on down the road there.
Amen.
Again, if the devil's beating you to death about it, settle it.
Come on.
You know where Dead Man's Curve is on 29? Y'all know where that's at? Does they even call it that anymore? I was riding towards that thing, and me and a fellow in the car was talking. I said, I don't feel like I'm saved sometimes. Can you lose your salvation? It's like a day or two after I saved. He said, no. I said, it's in the Bible. He got his Bible out and started talking about it. As we went around that curve right there, we gone up the road there, and he was telling me all that, and that's where I settled it at, right there. Going down the road. He just read it out of the Bible to me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He said, are you in the they? I said, I'm in the they. He said, then you okay?
Amen.
He said, now quit worrying about that, and said, Lord, what you want me to do now? So I asked the Lord, what to do now? See, you go on. As long as you're sitting there spinning your wheels in the mud, that's all you'll do.
Right.
Y'all ever been there before?
Mm-hmm.
Get your car stuck in the mud, can't get out. Somebody says, rock the back end of it. You know what I tell them? Hey, big mouth, she weighs so much, sit on the back of this car and I'll weight that thing down, we'll get right out of there.
Amen.
That works too. I had a big old fat guy tell me that. He said, if I see him stuck, I just go jump in the back of their truck and they're coming out of there. I said, that poor truck says, oh, you've got to get out of here now. What he told me. Listen, you got to realize the devil will beat you to death the entire time you will let him do that.
Yep.
That's what he does. He can't have your soul, you're saved, but he can't steal your service from you.
Mm-hmm.
Now watch this. Sanctification is God's will for us. It's God's work in us. And we was looking over here in, Colossians chapter 3. Look back over there. There's a statement over here in verse number 4. Sanctification is God's work in us, and it's also God's word with us. He points out an ultimate sanctification, but between here and there, he says, who is our life? That's right now. See, there's two things claims to be the word of God in the Bible. Just two. One's a person. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called the Word. The other one's your Bible.
Yep.
It's called the Word of God. And in more places than not, it's called the words of God. Showing you God believes every word's inspired, not just thoughts and ideas. And knowing that, and knowing that He's the Word of God, there's 165 things that calls Christ the Word of God, and then 165 more times the Bible calls itself the Word of God over those same things. Lines up perfectly. You can't separate Christ from this book. And when people do that, that's called heresy. Because God never intended that. Only heretics to do that. And you can spot them pretty easily. They don't believe the Bible. And they're in religious positions. What it is, what they become is they're what they call Gnostics. They believe in a God, but He ain't interfering in their life or nothing. But He's out there somewhere. That's how they believe they can correct the Bible. It's just another book. Oldest heresy in the book, just about, ain't it? So how's that old? Well, that's what the devil used in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Well, God knows if you ever get in. Yeah. For He doth know. Never hear him talking about the Greek word for know over there. Mm-hmm. Would you like to know what the Greek word for know is in the New Testament? Gnosis. Gnostic. Mm-hmm. You can know, but He don't really know. No. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, He does. He's the all-knowing God, and He knew that crowd would be here. And listen to this. If I'm not mistaken, the word science also means the same word as knowledge. It means it's a proven fact. That's why Paul warned Timothy, a pastor, about getting around these people with science falsely so-called, knowledge falsely so-called, proven facts falsely so-called. Like, I don't know. Let's just throw some out there. Textual criticism theory. So what is that? It's practiced by about 98% of pastors in America where they criticize God's book. Well, it's an unfortunate translation that's there when the Greek says this and they never tell you which Greek text they used to come up with that. Then somebody like me tells them this book corrects the Greek and they go, you can't go backwards like that. But yet y'all do. One word, Septuagint. Oh, well, wait a minute, that's the Bible. That's the Greek Bible. Jesus used the Hebrew translation. No, it was done 200 years after Jesus. Mm-hmm. When did they start telling you it was not that 200 years after Jesus? Oh, around 1870, somewhere around there. Two guys perpetrated that theory, Westcott and Hort. They also had a false Greek text they made out of the Pope's Greek text and called it what? Oh, the original Greek. And it's not original. They hated the King James Bible and they hated the text it come from. So they made up their own off of those faulty manuscripts. And get this, when people started figuring this out, it was too late. The revised version was already on the shelf. Some of the people that sat on that committee, you ought to stay away from their books too because they're poison. One of them being James Strong. Wonder why his definitions are corrupt and match the revised version of 1881 because he sat on the committee of that one and the 1901 American Standard Version Committee. What a coinkydink that might be. There's another one sitting on that committee. Philip Schaff, church history guy. When he died, he is completely aligned with the Roman Catholic Church. He had done switch positions entirely. Hort was a fan of the Catholic Church. In his writings, he even said so. Isn't that crazy? How'd they get fooled up in that? Because they didn't believe one book.
Right.
Now, look at this one book over here. When Christ, who is our life, everything we do because of Him. And knowing that sanctification is God's word with us, look over at John chapter 15. Here's how to solve that problem. Did he say we was cleansed by the washing of the water of the word? Here's God's word with us. This is why we keep an open Bible. This is why we read the Bible. This is why we believe the Bible. This is why we memorize the Bible. When you memorize the Bible, there'll be specific verses you'll memorize that you'll walk into that same situation, and that book will be alive in your heart and your mind, and God will stop you from doing something. John chapter 15, verse 3, Jesus said this to his disciples, now ye are clean through the what? Through the word which I have spoken unto you. This isn't just written to you. When you read it, it's spoken to you.
Mm-hmm.
And what's it do? It's God's word in us that this God's word with us that's starting to work in us, and it's setting us apart for God to be able to do anything He wants to with us.
Amen.
There was a man, a friend of mine, who graduated this Bible Institute. He was went for a job interview today, and he's sitting there waiting on his breakfast before he went out for the interview over there. Here comes this guy up to him, and of all things, this guy's a Muslim. He says, "What are you reading?" He said, "The Bible." He said, "Is that about Jesus?" "Is this about Jesus? Can you tell me about Jesus?" And he sat there and sat him down and showed him his Bible, talked to him about Jesus. "You'll never believe this because you're not a believer yet, but you're going to be. God wanted to get saved." So he took him over and said, "Here's what the Bible says about being saved," and started walking him through the plan of salvation. Mm-hmm. And just like you got saved, he got saved.
Amen.
This man's not an evangelist to Muslims. He's not a missionary to Muslims. He just happened to be in the right place doing the right thing at the right time, and he had set himself apart to be used by God, and God used him.
Amen.
God does that.
Amen.
Now here's the really scary part. He wanted the Bible after he got saved. Wonder why. Wonder if that guy could tell you why he wanted that Bible. I can tell you. He got clean through the word, which got spoke to his heart. Now he wants that thing to have his own.
Right.
You know, when I got saved, I knew I needed to read the Bible. I can't tell you why I need to. Now I could tell you 1,500 verses why I need to read the Bible. But the day I got saved, I knew I just needed to start reading the Bible. And I couldn't tell you why. I just knew I needed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally come to this conclusion to make it real simple. I didn't know it was me, but it wasn't me. It was him. He wanted to read the Bible. And he is in here now, so he's wanting to read the Bible. That's the easiest way I can explain that to you. And somehow, in some way, that old man on the outside wants to fight that new man. And that new man wants to listen to the Holy Spirit. That old man wants to say, "Yeah, we tired, ain't we? Well, we just slept 8 hours. Yeah, but ain't we tired?"
Come on.
Listen, look over to Acts 26. Acts 26. He said, "Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you." And in Acts 26... verse 14, Saul of Tarsus has given his testimony. He says in verse 14, "And when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew tongue." And that's very important right there. Because what you fixing to read after that was spoken in Hebrew, then written down in Greek under the inspiration of God. It's called an inspired translation, any way you want to look at it. Don't tell me God don't do them. I'll give you three more. And one of them's right here in Acts, I think it's 21, where Paul ends that chapter by saying he spoke to them in Hebrew tongue, saying, comma, and the next chapter he's talking to them people.
Yep.
Watch this. He down at verse 18, this is what he's called him to do here. "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." That's Jesus talking right there. He's talking about putting a man out there to reach other sinners that's lost. They get saved and join the sanctified crowd.
Yep.
Ain't that something?
Yep.
That's God's word with us. Who told him that? The Lord did. He had to clean him up, set him apart, and then work in him to get him to this point. And you want to talk about working in somebody? Saul was with old... what was the guy's name that come up to him in Acts 9 that didn't want to go over because he heard God kill him? Ananias was on the way.
Yep.
And Pastor Ananias kept him for 3 years, and then Barnabas came and got him and took him to Antioch, and then he went in the ministry. You want to be great for the Lord? Get in the local church and nail that thing down.
Amen.
Learn the Bible. Do what God called you to do, and do the simple things. Be set up. You're set apart when you're saved, and then let God work in you through His Word and get you where He wants you to be to do with you what He wants to do. How many of y'all went to college? How many of you it took you 30 years to get out of there? If the world has that kind of standard, don't you think God has a better one? People say all the time, "Well, I just don't know what God wants me to do." Pray, read the Bible, go to church, basics. Nail her down.
Yep.
Win people to Christ. Pray every day. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. That's the will of God, even your sanctification. The thing you got to ask yourself is, are you being set apart, and are you set apart? That's sanctification. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you. God, pray.